To the Manor Born by Peter Spence, starring Penelope Keith, Keith Barron, and Angela Thorne. Sons of the Fathers.
Silence in court.
Frederick Arthur Lovelace, for as long as I have served on this bench, you have been appearing before me regularly for violent crimes. This unprovoked attack with a beer glass outside a public house, causing grievous bodily harm, was your most vicious yet. And so long as you are free, nobody in this town or surrounding villages can sleep soundly in the streets. We therefore have no alternative but to impose the maximum sentence permitted to this magistrate's court. You will go to prison for 6 months. Take him down.
The court will rise.
Anything interesting in court this morning, madam?
Oh, usual things. Traffic offences, shoplifting, television licence defaulters, a few drunk and disorderlies. Oh, and a GBH. We sent Fred Lovelace down for another 6 months. Just the routine stuff, really.
Again? That man will never learn, will he?
It breaks my heart every time I pass sentence on anyone from that family.
If it wasn't for the Lovelace family, we wouldn't need a magistrate's court in Mulberry.
Or a juvenile court. The children are all as bad. They terrorise the neighbourhood, but I suppose one mustn't judge them.
I thought that was what the court was for.
Yes, but they never really had a chance in life, home background like theirs. They live in an awful slum. Rusty prams, old bathtubs in the garden, wheelless cars propped up on bricks. You should see it.
Oh, I didn't realise you'd been there.
I haven't. But I've seen pictures in social workers' reports. It's not their fault. They come from bad stock. Poor old Fred Lovelace. Committing crimes is in his blood. Just as sending him to prison is in mine.
Madam?
There have been a lot of very distinguished judges in my ancestry, remember?
Of course, madam.
One of my forebears was no less than Master of the Rolls.
Oh, yes. Algernon Grenville Hamilton, if memory serves.
Yes. Of course, the job is mostly ceremonial these days, but in the 1570s, there were a lot of roles which took some very serious mastering.
I've no doubt. I've often wondered about him. He never got an earldom, did he?
Sadly not. If he had, things would have turned out very differently for this family. However, he blotted his copybook.
Oh, dear.
He made a pass at a woman in the royal household.
Do we know who?
Yes. Elizabeth I.
I didn't know that.
There were some things which were never talked about in this family.
Then he was lucky he didn't get his head chopped off.
He must have been indispensable. Like all the Forbes Hamiltons in public service, he took his duties very seriously. All the generals, ambassadors, the politicians. That's where I get it from.
You certainly seem to be spending a lot of time on the bench lately.
It's a question of having to. We're desperately short of magistrates. In fact, we've been asked to suggest new candidates. I was thinking of asking Mr. Devere.
Richard Devere, Justice of the Peace. Certainly has a draconian ring about it.
I think he'd like that. I'm about to go over to the manor to ask him.
Come along in, my dear. I am sure Richard will be delighted to see you. He's in the library with the painter.
Oh, is he having the house decorated?
No, he's having his portrait painted.
Shh. Hello, Audrey. Come along in.
Morning, Richard. What on earth?
No. I can't talk.
He's not allowed to talk. Not while he's having his mouth painted.
What's he doing in hunting clothes and sitting on a saddle?
In the final painting, he's going to be on a horse.
Oh, I see. You look very impressive, Richard. Have you ever thought of being a ventriloquist?
Oh, to hell with it. Look, I'm not going to sit here and be insulted just because I can't answer back. Sitting's over.
Do let me see.
What's it like? I'm not allowed to look.
Very good. You look very imposing. The steely eye, the stern brow, the firm chin.
That is my bed, Rich. Well, I must get back to my sporting life.
To what?
We are off to the races this afternoon, and I am busy studying the form. Excuse me.
Oh, yes, I can just see that reproachful look putting the fear of God into anyone in the dark.
What?
In a courtroom, if you were on the bench.
Oh, you mean a judge?
No, a magistrate.
You're telling me I look like a magistrate?
Every inch.
That's not the right image at all. Who wants to look like a magistrate?
Well, you would, if you were a magistrate.
Well, I'm not.
No, not yet. But have you ever thought of being a magistrate?
Of course not. What do you take me for?
A man of standing in the community with a sense of civic duty and the maintenance of law and order close to his heart.
Me?
Yes. I was wondering whether I could put your name forward, only we're terribly short of justices on the Marlborough bench.
Oh, come off it, Audrey. I'm only a whisker within the law myself sometimes. Whatever next? You'd be wanting me to be a special constable or a school lollipop man.
It isn't time-consuming. Just a couple of mornings a month. And you can put J.P. after your name.
Oh, what's that make me? A Jackie Potato?
I'm obviously wasting my time.
You certainly are. Now, look, Audrey, why don't you just lighten up a bit? I mean, the sun is out. It's Marlbury Park Race Week. We're all having a good time. And you come in with a heavy-handed suggestion like that. I mean, you're really a party pooper, aren't you?
No. It's just that some of us are not offhand and dismissive of our public duties.
But can't you forget about them just for once in a while and get a life?
I've got a life.
I mean a social life. You haven't been out for ages. In fact, I was going to ask you whether you wanted to come to Marlborough Park for me.
To the races? Me? No, far too busy for that sort of frivolity.
Oh, please yourself.
Audrey, what is this?
Isn't it obvious?
It's a court fine for non-payment of television licence. What does it mean?
Well, you obviously have been caught without a television licence.
I know that. But you were on the bench yesterday and you did this.
All right, I did. So what?
You fine me, your oldest friend. Well, of course I did. I had to. Well, you could have let me off.
How could I? You were just a name in a whole list. I was simply applying the law.
With no consideration of mitigating circumstances.
What mitigating circumstances?
Well, I didn't know the Detective Van was coming round.
Of course you didn't, and nor did anybody else.
Yes, but they're not me.
So, there isn't one law for everybody else and another one for Marjorie Frobisher.
But £100? Where am I going to find £100?
You should have thought of that before you committed the crime.
Crime? You're not telling me I'm a criminal.
If you're the wrong side of the law, that makes you a criminal. And you're on the long, slippery slope.
It's only a television license.
Nevertheless, I've seen it all before. Hardened criminals up before me for robbery with violence. And it all started by failing to return the library book. Yes, in all the years I've served on the bench.
Oh, spare me the lecture, please. You're not on the bench now. What's got into you? Is there something on your mind?
As a matter of fact, there is. Ever since my old Aunt Sybil died last month.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were still upset by that.
I wasn't. Not by the death itself. I mean, she was over 90, and it wasn't as if I'd ever met her.
Well, she lived in Brazil, didn't she? Went native or something.
Yes, lived with the Amazonian Indians somewhere in the Mato Grosso. We had no contact, apart from the odd letter at Christmas asking me to drop in if I was ever passing.
And how often do you hear yourself saying, oh, look, this must be the Mato Grosso. I wonder if Aunt Sybil's in.
Exactly. She was childless. So that leaves me, well, the last of the line.
Oh, I see.
I am the last Forbes Hamilton left. When I die, that's it. Finito. 400 years and then nothing. As if we had never been. Out with a whimper.
Unless...
Yes, unless I marry and have children, which I'm under considerable pressure from the family to do.
Well, how can that be if there isn't any family?
Just for my ancestors. You see, I've been having this dream. I'm in a courtroom in the dock, and there's a panel of judges, all the lawyers in their wigs and robes, presided over by Algernon Grenville. And they're passing judgment on me. They're saying, we trusted you. You have failed us. We gave you a last chance. And they're just about to pass sentence.
And?
Well, that's when the kangaroo comes in. And I wake up in a cold sweat.
Whatever does it all mean?
Dream symbolism, I suppose. It's a kangaroo court.
But what do you think it's all about?
It's obvious. for anything else I might have achieved in my life, I have failed to continue the line. They want me to do something about it. The finger is pointing at me.
Oh, it's only a dream. You make up your own dreams, you know, so it's only your own guilt talking.
So it may be. It's only telling me the truth.
You can't have your life being taken over by a dream. Instead of sitting here brooding, you should get out more. Take your mind off it.
I can't. It's too risky.
But what's stopping you?
Self-preservation. I have to stay alive. At least until I have continued the line. I mean, what if I got run over by a bus?
Well, there's only one a day round here, and I can give you a time.
I'm not taking any chances.
And how long are you going to go on like this?
Either until I find a husband.
Well, you won't find one in here, apart from Brabinger, of course, and he's hardly breeding stock.
True. There must be somebody out there.
Well, if I can think of anybody who'd be prepared to, you know, while you lie back and think of England.
I don't mean that, Marjorie. What I mean is that it's possible I'm not the last of the line at all, only so far as I know.
Oh, you mean all the illegitimate branches? I expect there's lots of them.
Well, I don't. But there may well be another legitimate branch of the family which is flourishing, but I just don't happen to know about it.
You could always find out.
Which is exactly what I'm intending to do. I'm going to check out the family archive.
Oh, where's that?
Oh, it's all in an old trunk over at the manor. There was nowhere to put it here, so Richard let me leave the family papers and portraits in the cellar. I just sent Brabinger and Ned over to collect it.
Well, good luck.
I need it. In fact, I won't sleep peacefully in my bed until I track them down or until I know the line is safe.
Guess what? Richard's asked me to go to the races with him.
What, you?
Yes, me! Apparently you refused.
Of course I did. I have much more important things to do. And anyway, I have to stay alive.
Oh, you don't have to ride in a race.
Even so, I might get mown down.
Well, if you throw yourself onto the track, you might. Well, please yourself, but I'm going and I might even have a flutter.
Oh, I see. You can afford to gamble your money away, but you can't afford to pay your license fee. I'll remember that when you come up in the court for non-payment of your fine.
Oh, really, you are a killjoy.
No, I'm not. You go. Enjoy yourself. Don't let me stop you.
No, I won't. I'm off. I only came in to show you my new hat. What do you think?
Are you really going to wear that in public?
Yes.
You'd do better to enter it for the flower show.
Steady now, Ned. We don't want to drop it and break anything.
It's heavy enough. What's in there, dead body or something?
Plenty. Spiders, mostly. But being the Forbes Hamilton archive, could be the family jewels, for all I know.
Park it down here by the parkage. I get the car boot open.
Oh, I'll get some of this dust off.
Ned? All morning, Jim.
Well, I thought you were supposed to be driving the horse box to the race course.
Well, I'm just doing this little job for Mrs. Forbes here, and then I'll be off to Marby Park.
Well, don't be late. What's all this?
Just taking this trunk and the portraits over to the lodge, sir.
Oh, my word. Who are all these people?
Mrs. Forbes, Hamilton's ancestors, sir. I believe that one, Sir Algernon Grenville Hamilton, Master of the Rolls to Elizabeth I.
Not much like a Master of the Rolls to me.
His official portrait will be hanging in the Inner Temple or Lincoln's Inn in London. This is the family portrait, hence the hunting gear.
But they're all in hunting gear.
The landed gentry of the day all like to be painted on horses.
Oh, it's hard to tell which is which, some of them.
It was just a pretentious affectation of the day.
Oh, really?
Yes, but the practice seems to have died a natural death. Thank heaven.
Were they all chinless wonders, or couldn't the artist paint chins in those days?
And you will hang by the neck until you are dead, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Ravenger!
Oh, in the dining room, madam, with the rope.
Ah, so this is where the awful smell of mothballs is coming from. Who are you talking to?
Oh, just these spiders and woodlice and things. I've just emptied out the trunk, madam.
Well done, Brabinger. Now, you haven't thrown anything away, have you?
Oh, no, madam.
I mean, any scrap of paper could prove vital in our quest.
I'm just getting rid of all the cobwebs and creepy crawlies and things.
I suppose we can eliminate them from our inquiries. I don't want to go through all this lot just to find I'm related to a dead moth.
I've done a preliminary sort-out, madam. I started by separating artifacts from documents. Now, artifacts. Portraits, the family coat of arms, medals and insignia.
What are all these?
That must be somebody's official legal regalia, madam. The robe, the hose, breeches, the garter, seals of office. And look, a gavel. Silence in court.
Gosh, I'd forgotten we had these.
Now, the family photos are all in this pile here.
Oh, when you've put the family tree on a board, what a good idea.
For easy referral.
It isn't as wide as I thought it would be.
That must be because of all the intermarrying, madam. Forbes marrying Hamilton, Hamilton marrying Forbes, until they put the names together to save on the paperwork. Your family seems to branch far, but not very wide.
No. And the documents?
All ready for you on the table, madam. I've put property deeds on that pile over there. Wills in this pile here. Birth certificates, marriage certificates. Oh, and these. Love letters to your great-great-aunt Eleanor from the front during the Crimean War.
Who from?
Most of the British Expeditionary Force.
Well, you've done very well. One would think you'd done this before.
It's how I do the washing up, madam. I put the plates in a pile there, the cups there, the glasses, the cutlery. When everything's stacked up in neat piles, it makes the job look like a lawyer's office, isn't it, madam?
Certainly is. Right, let's start by identifying the portraits and finding them on the family tree.
Good idea, madam.
Now, that there is Sir Algernon Grenville Hamilton, isn't it?
Ah, yes. And on the tree, here it is, 1504 to 1579.
And he married... Let's see, Grabinger.
Madam?
I don't think I can take this very seriously with you looking like that.
Madam?
Take that ridiculous judge's wig off.
Oh!
Oh, well done. Good race. Congratulations. Oh, Mark.
Right, I take her now, Miss Corbett.
Oh, please, just one more photograph, Ned.
I got to get the blankets back on her now. I don't want her to catch cold.
Oh, all right, Ned, you take over.
And now make sure she has a good night's rest, Ned. She's got another race tomorrow.
Right, you are.
Oh, gosh.
Now, you really enjoyed that.
Oh, never
you?
In my wildest dreams could I have thought that one day I'd be leading a horse into a winner's enclosure.
Well, it isn't exactly the Derby, but it's early days.
Audrey could have seen me.
She would have been green with me.
She's missing out on such a lot of fun. Such a pity she wouldn't come.
Well, you know, Audrey, she's made up her mind to be in misery. That's it. Just stewing her own juice.
Trouble is that if she makes up her mind she's not going to have any fun, she makes damn sure you don't either.
Well, she hasn't stopped you, has she?
Well, no, not really. I mean, it's been a marvellous day all round, but...
And you've made a profit on the day.
Yes, but she's still managed to put a bit of a damper on things.
In what way?
Well, my winnings.
Well, £200 up, aren't you? You could buy yourself a decent hat for that.
Yes. Or even treat myself to a television license with matching fine.
What are they?
The last worldly possessions of my late Aunt Sybil. She died in Brazil last month. Some lawyer in Rio de Janeiro must have packed them up and sent them to the manor. Thank you for bringing them over. To think, a whole dynasty, and this is all posterity will have to show for it.
It is not very much, is it?
When I die, they'll find these. A box of old bits of paper, a few portraits, and a few bits and pieces I won't have been able to sell by then. And they'll say, what a fizzle for 400 years.
Oh, do not be so morbid, Audrey.
It's the truth, Mrs. Pooh. I have to face it. Brabinger and I have spent all this week poring through the documents, searching the church records, everything. It looks as if every single branch of our family has died out. I'm the last of the line, and I'm going nowhere.
Oh, Audrey, your life is not over yet.
I'm not going to reproduce now. I mean, not without a husband. So the line stops here. You are looking at the last remnant of a dying breed.
Oh, if only you and Richard could get yourselves together, the line could start up again.
Sorry?
Well, after all, you have only got yourself to blame. I mean, I don't mean this as a criticism, but you have to admit that you are a bit...
A bit what?
Well, serious. Too serious by half. Lofty, grand, high-minded. aloof. Couldn't see the pink head that snooped.
Which bits do you mean as a criticism?
It is always better to speak your mind.
Are you sure this is me you're talking about?
Yes, my dear. What Bedrich needs is somebody who will make him relax, make him laugh, make him happy. What do you want to make him? A magistrate.
It's all very well, Mrs. Pooh, but when you have a sense of public duty coursing through your veins, like I have, life just cannot be one long party.
Oh, well, have it your own way. Anyway, speaking of parties, I have to go.
Must you?
Yes, I have a party to go to. Bedrich is having a few people in to lunchtime drinks.
Living it up as ever?
It is for the unveiling of his portrait. Then they are all off to the races again.
That's every day this week.
Bedrich would be delighted if you would come.
No, he's given up inviting me to things. He knows I'd refuse.
Then I am inviting you.
It's very kind of you, but I really can't. I have to set my hand to the plough.
Really, you two, you are as stubborn as each other. Well, goodbye, my dear. And think about what I have said.
I will. Goodbye. On with the search. Now, where did we get to? Ravenger?
Oh, madam.
Ravenger, what are you doing?
Nothing, madam.
What's that in your hand?
This, it's a poker, madam.
No, 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 the other hand, behind your back.
Oh, this, just a bit of paper.
It looks like one of the documents from... It is. Is it a birth certificate?
No, no, just junk mail. I was just about to burn it.
Give it to me.
No, no, madam, please.
It is Bravenger. What do you think you're doing?
Please, madam, I beg of you, don't read it.
I most certainly will.
Please, madam, not until I have explained.
Very well.
Perhaps you'd better sit down, madam.
This is all very ominous. All right, I'm all ears.
A cup of tea, perhaps. Brandy?
Out with it.
Very well. While we've been doing our research, madam, I've taken the liberty of, shall we say, sidetracking certain documents.
You mean hiding them from me? What documents, anyway?
Well, mostly to do with your Aunt Sybil, madam, ever since I discovered why she went to Brazil from the letters. Did you know why?
I know there was some scandal, but as I say, there are some things we never talked about in this family.
Well, as you know, she was the youngest daughter of your great-great-grandfather. Apparently she had a wild love affair with a wretched stable boy who deflowered her in one of the hay barns.
Well, that was half of the course in those days.
As a recreational activity, yes. But this was more serious. She was madly in love with him and wanted to marry him. But, of course, as she was only 17, the family could not permit it.
So, she ran away, is that it?
No, madam. The affair carried on in secret here until the lad was called to the front in the First World War and was never heard of again.
So that was the end of it?
No. Apparently your Aunt Sybil was left with a child. It was all hushed up, of course. The child was taken away from her and she was banished and went to Brazil in disgrace.
So what happened to the child?
He was dumped on the hapless stable lad's mother in the village, who brought him up as her own son. Paid, of course, and sworn to secrecy.
Did the child survive?
Unfortunately, yes, madam. Grew up, married, and had a family.
Why, unfortunately? This is wonderful news. Names, Bravenger. I must have names.
Lovelace, madam. The lad's name was Albert Lovelace.
Lovelace, Lovelace. Now, where have I heard that name before?
It appears in your court lists, madam. Rather a lot, in fact.
You mean that the Lovelace family are related to me?
Albert Lovelace was the grandfather of your friend Frederick Arthur. It appears they are the family we are looking for.
Oh, my word, this is dreadful. Oh, no, it isn't so bad. That just makes them an illegitimate branch.
Yes, of course. If Albert Lovelace had never actually married your aunt...
But he didn't, did he? There's no evidence of that.
It's in your hand, madam.
What? Oh, no. Certificate of marriage. But this means...
I'm afraid it does, madam. You're not the last of the line. Not by any means.
But what you're saying is...
Yes, madam.
The man you sent down last week for GBH is your own first cousin twice removed.
And all his snotty-nosed delinquents who clog up the juvenile court.
Your nephews and nieces, madam.
They're actually all Forbes Hamiltons.
In all but name, madam. All the descendants you could wish to have.
Or not to have. Oh, law, I wish we'd never started this thing.
Oh, well, truth will out.
It will do nothing of the kind. Oh, Bravinger, what are we going to do?
I thought I was just doing it, madam, when you came in. I tried to spare you any ghastliness, but if you'd like to give that back to me...
No, I'll do it.
Very good, madam.
It would be quite wrong of me to let you do this. I, and I alone, will answer to my ancestors. There. First cousin, completely removed. Brabantcher, there are some things we don't talk about in this family.
Then I would have no idea what they were, would I?
And with that, I'll ask my mother to do the honors and unveil the portrait. Mother?
I thought you would never stop talking. Right. Everybody ready? There.
Gosh, Richard, it's so like you.
Well, it's supposed to be me. I did sip porridge, you know.
Yes, that is my boy. Oh, you look very distinguished.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
Audrey, what are you doing here?
Oh, I wouldn't miss this for anything. But I thought... Do let me see. Oh, I say. It isn't at all what I expected.
We all think it's jolly good.
Yes, but what's he doing in a pinstripe suit? And is it... What is it, a boardroom?
Of course, he's one of the country's leading businessmen. What did you expect?
But there's no horse.
What would a horse be doing in a boardroom?
Why aren't you in hunting pink?
Oh, that. Yes, well, we scrapped that idea. This is for the Cavendish boardroom.
Oh, I see. Thought your business friends would take a dim view of you posing as one of the idle rich.
Now, it wasn't that. I changed my mind after seeing the portraits of all your lot. Thought they all looked a bunch of inbred, chinless wonders.
So, you're out, Audrey. I take it this means you found some long-lost relative to carry on the line?
No, we haven't. Not a sign. But I'm satisfied I've exhausted every avenue and the trail has gone quite cold.
Oh, Audrey, you're not going to give up, are you?
Yes, I think it's for the best.
But what would your ancestors say?
Oh, I think I've just cleared it with them. Yes, for the moment anyway, we've decided to die out gracefully.
Oh, dear. And with a whimper, after all.
No, Marjorie. With a bang. Well, when are we all off, then?
Where to?
To the races, of course. I'm coming with you.
Are you sure?
Yes. I've been thinking. I've been much too serious and high-minded lately, and I thought it was time I got out more and had some fun.
Well, let's go, then.
Richard, if I could have a quiet word.
Yes?
I owe you an apology.
Well, it's usually me who owes you one.
I'm sorry, Richard. I was quite wrong to admonish you for being too fun-loving.
Oh, but you were quite right.
I'm always on at you about something. I know I do get far too serious for my own good.
You do sound like my mother sometimes. Trouble is, so does my mother.
Oh, has she been pitching into you too?
Yes, about being altogether too frivolous and fun-loving. Yes, she thinks, she thinks I should be more serious.
Lofty?
Yes, grand, aloof.
High-minded.
Yes, and you're both quite right. Maybe I should be more responsible and civic-minded. In fact, I've been meaning to ask you something.
The court will rise.
Frederick Arthur Lovelace, once again you have been found guilty of causing grievous bodily harm in an affray outside a public house. Not the first occasion.
Superman of Born starred Penelope Keith as Audrey Forbes Hamilton, Keith Barron as Richard Devere, Angela Thorne as Marjorie Frobisher, Marjorie Withers as Mrs. Polovitska, Nicholas McCardle as Brabinger, and Frank Middlemas as Ned. It was written by Peter Spence and produced by Jane Bertram.